Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, super fans, this is Next Fan Up. My name is Mark Sitko. I am joined today by two of our super fans. One super fan, the first I have is Nick. He is our Kansas City Chiefs super fan. How are you doing, Nick?
I am doing fantastic because the Chiefs have the player that scored the most points in week four. There is no weapon like kicker Cairo Santos.
Nice. Oh, man, I would do anything for a real kicker right now. I need an NFL kicker. Please make one fall out of the sky. How can there be a drought on NFL kickers? It's such an easy job. I know it's not totally easy, but soccer players, Australian football players, come be in the NFL. Make millions kicking field goals. It's easy. Jesus. Rob Kohler, how you doing? Rob is here. He is our Browns super fan. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to 1-3, gentlemen. And just like Christmas morning appears on December 25th, the Browns are under 500 once again. So while I am enjoying this victory, you two, I have a lot to teach you.
Yes, I am. I'm learning the ways of misery for sure, Rob. I definitely feel that, and I'm not ready. It's heartbreaking when you aren't ready for it. I cannot do it with the same zen that you have as you talk about your miseries. Oh man, so much pain. But let's get started. We're going to talk about these games. We have a bunch of games to rewrap from this week. First, kicking off, we had Baltimore Pittsburgh. Obviously, the big story of this game is that Baltimore was still able to win, but was that Pittsburgh was still able to compete, I should say, even without Roethlisberger. They came close, but they weren't able to pull it out in the end. Baltimore, I think this just shows, is not a really amazing team, but they're going to be able to win a game like this. They're a good enough team that they should win a game like this. Do you guys have anything else really to add to this game? Is there anything special you saw here?
I just thought that the Ravens were lucky that they didn't have to face a full-powered Steelers, and they got a lucky one, I think, at home.
No, totally. I agree. I don't think that the Ravens are going very far this year. I just don't think they have the horses, especially, it seems, really on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, the fact that they're struggling against Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh doesn't have its quarterback, is it just shows where they are. They pull it off in overtime, but they're really, yeah, Pittsburgh, if they can keep playing games like that, they're going to be fine until Roethlisberger is back. The Jets game, Kohler, you took a look at this. What do you think? Jets-Miami, how did this game look?
Well, it was our first game from London, so we got to see the teams travel overseas and play very early in the morning, which was pretty cool for my Sunday. Chris Ivory ran all over the Dolphins, and 166 yards on 29 rushes, and none of them were, a 50-yard run, and then the rest of the time he just kind of, piddled and dunked his way through. He had solid 6-yard runs, 11-yard runs, 12-yard runs, and, he was just gashing them all over the field. Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't have to do much, and they kind of ran away with it. It was over before the fourth quarter. And then I just think that, Miami is so sick of their plight of 8-8, and now even worse than that, they Lane Kiffin to their coach and left him in London and fired him. So today, this morning.
Wow. Nick, what do you think? Is it appropriate to fire a coach at this point? Do you have any thoughts on that? What do you think of this coach being fired and how it's going to go?
Well, I think if you just look, I haven't watched a complete Dolphins game this season, but if you just see the highlights and you see the box scores, it was becoming increasingly clear that the players were not playing for the coaches. And I think it's really interesting that the fact that it seems like the interim head coach is going to be the tight ends coach, and the fact that you pass over both coordinators to go down to the tight ends coach, I think shows a lot about how the front office feels about this coaching staff overall. And probably some of the feedback they've been getting from players about the regime there. It looks bad. It's a team that has too much talent to be looking this uncompetitive, and not just losing, but being uncompetitive. So it doesn't shock me, but I don't see it getting suddenly radically better this season.
Yeah, for sure. When you see someone like this go and they fire the coach, I don't know who this helps. I don't know what the good is other than making the coach look really, really bad. what is the upside here? Like Kohler, what does this buy you?
It's very strange. Believe me, the Cleveland Browns have a good history with this. It doesn't help you at all. So, I mean, you can play. There's two ways you can go, right? You can play it out and you can bottom out and try and get a top draft pick because you just know that the coach isn't doing the right job. But then everybody's unhappy. When you get rid of a guy and put in an interim, at least you make some of your star players that you're paying a lot of money a little bit more happy that you're willing to actually do something and not just kind of ride it out. So the other interesting thing that you know Nick brought up, which is a good point, is this is the only coach that was left over from the old regime. So it's interesting that they picked him to be the interim head coach and kind of skip everybody else. So I'm just – you know, you can try and change the attitude, I guess, but that'll win you a couple games, but it's not going to change, you know, the dynamic of your team too much.
Yeah. I feel bad, Ron. I was busting Ron's balls, so to speak, through Twitter before the game, and Ron was just going out about everything was wrong with Miami. And I was pointing out, like, really all you need is a new coach, maybe a new GM. Like, he was acting like it was this big. He was coming up reaching for, in my regard, so I feel of it. He was reaching for these really crazy excuses, like being in Miami, these players only come here to, like, for the beach life, and they're not interested in football, and all these theories that I was like, nah, I think if you get a good coach in there, you have a chance. Not that that's easy to do, but I just feel bad for Ron. I wasn't wishing that they would fire your coach this weekend. Like, as I was saying, you just need a new coach. I did not realize the precipice they were on. Fascinating to see this happen. I'd be really bummed. I mean, the Eagles are 1-3. If we fired Chip Kelly right now, I would literally stop being a fan. Like, I would be so furious at the owners for firing him at this point. It's so early in the season. I mean, 0-4 even, I'd understand, but they'd won a game. They weren't, you know, I don't know. Not that they've been playing well. I get it. I just don't know where this tight ends coach is going to come in and like all of a sudden make this team right. But I like what you're saying, Kohler. Maybe they're just trying to throw the season and they're going to get the draft pick. We should move on. Yeah. We should look at Atlanta, Houston. This game, just a blowout. Two teams that are not evenly matched whatsoever. The best player in the league, J.J. Watt, Houston, who can't win a game. And then against Atlanta Falcons, who are truly shaping up to be a strong contender this year. I think they are probably one of the top four teams in the NFC. If I had to pick a team that's going to be in the NFC championship game, Atlanta's got to be one of the teams you would talk about. Julio Jones looks like he is out to prove he is the best receiver of all time. It's an amazing thing that they're doing. I think that they are pretty unstoppable. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but as of right now, if you had to pick somebody, they've got to be a favorite. Did anybody else see this game? Have any thoughts about Atlanta or Houston?
Well, I just think, I mean, you know, this goes back to, in terms of the QB situation in Houston, which is really where the focus has been on. I mean, they got Arian Foster back this week, but he didn't help. In fact, he had one of his own players force a fumble on him somehow magically. But, you know, late in the game when the game was already long lost, they switched back from Mallett to Brian Hoyer. And I was personally, I mean, you know, obviously I watched their first game of the season when Hoyer got benched against the Chiefs. I was really surprised and stunned by that situation, that decision as well. I mean, like, Hoyer didn't look great, but, you know, against the Chiefs defense, a lot of quarterbacks aren't going to look great. But we saw him on Hard Knocks saying that he'd have like eight games, you know, and then like three quarters in, he pitches him for Mallett. Mallett got a touchdown on the Chiefs, but even as like the Chiefs defenders pointed out in the press conference after the game, like, well, look, you know, we game planned for Hoyer, and Mallett's got a different skill set. They run different plays with him. And so, yeah, he got some things going. And that's the thing that always happens with backup quarterbacks. They always come into they come in mid game. They always get at least something going because the other team has totally game planned against the starter. And then everyone thinks, oh, well, here we go. Suddenly the backup quarterback is great. And no, I mean, the same things that were true about Ryan Mallett during training camp and a year ago and 2 years ago are still true about him. I mean, Hoyer is not a huge step up, but he's the steadier vet, I think. I mean, and just now, though, now that you know, it looks like Houston's going to be bouncing back and forth between them for the rest of the season. That's something that as Eagles fans and Browns fans know quite a bit about. I just see it's getting worse and worse.
It's never good.
For sure.
It's never
good. No, never. Yeah. Giants Buffalo, Battle of New York. This game, I am really bummed. I was so confident that Buffalo would beat the Giants. I was pretty sure of that, and I have to say, the Giants have to be the favorites in the NFC East right now. Dallas is not looking good and getting more injured by the minute. The Eagles, we can't get our offense together whatsoever. Even though Cousins and Garcon had an amazing game and really drove out to win, I don't think that they're contenders. I think the Giants have got to be the favorites, and they just beat a really good team in Buffalo. Anybody else see this game? Any other thoughts on this game?
I do think that the Bills got a little bit over their skis in the fact that, you know, they held the Patriots close and they won a couple games, but they got to cut down on the penalties. Their penalties killed them. They had like 18 penalties. And so, I mean, Rex Ryan keeps talking about it, but they've got to cut those down. That's huge amounts of yardage that you're losing every game that you can't do with, you know, Tyrod Taylor is kind of the new kid in town. Everybody kind of likes him. But I mean, after four games, people have schemed for him and start figuring these things out. You got to, you know, learn to control the ball.
Yeah.
Well, is it just me or has the league? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nick.
It seems like the refs have been really flag happy so far this season overall. I mean, I heard someone mention, granted, this has been more penalty ridden than others, but someone pointed out, I think it was like if you watch both the New York games, but the Giants game and the Jets game, there was over 500 yards of penalties in those two games combined. I mean, that's just insane. In the Chiefs game, I mean, they've been throwing the flag quite a bit. I'm always on the side of just let them play. I mean, if it's something that happens away from the play, if it's, you know, I always would prefer the refs to err on the side of just, you know, of keeping the flag in their pocket. But because some of these games have just gotten ugly and difficult to watch, frankly, at times, it's just penalties, penalties, penalties.
No, as somebody who we play an up-tempo offense, I mean, it just kills so much of what our offense is with all of these penalties. We had a touchdown taken away because our right tackle, I believe, was just lined up a little too deep. His helmet wasn't close enough to the waist of the center, whatever the line is. And so we had a perfect touchdown, drop back, throws it, bang. Nothing to do with it. Like that has nothing to do with the play that happened. And boom, they take that penalty away. They drop us back. We don't convert it. We don't get the touchdown. We can't kick a field goal because we're the Eagles. No, the penalties have been really, really bad. I saw, and then just on the other side, I saw Redskins play. They got a 15-yard penalty in our game where the safety came down and did everything he could to hit the receiver in a respectable and kind way, and he got a 15-yard penalty just because it was too close to right after the guy caught the ball. And I start seeing those, and yeah, it's a shame. I understand we got to protect for concussions and all that. But at the same time, I'll see my quarterback get tackled, and it'll be helmet to helmet, and he doesn't get a 15-flagger, but you're going to put it on the safety who used his shoulder? It's getting bad. I think what's going to happen is we're eventually going to have the computer able to challenge penalties. And I know that they're not going to want that. The refs are going to fight that. But I think that's where we have to go because it's costing us games, and these are bad calls. We're seeing a lot of bad calls, and we're seeing an excess of calls. So, yeah, I've been totally bummed on that. I definitely have seen that. Moving on to Oakland, Chicago. Rob, you had a chance to look at this game. How did this look? Chicago pulled out a win. I'm sure Tom is amazed and surprised like the rest of us. How did this happen?
Yeah, I'm sure Tom is. You know, Jay Cutler back in the game, and he throws a back-breaking interception just like always in the fourth quarter. Luckily, it was early enough in the fourth quarter that after the Raiders drove down and kicked a field goal, they left 2 minutes on the clock, and Cutler actually kind of redeemed himself. He led the team back from the 20 all the way down to like the 30, and then Robbie Gould kicked a field goal for them to win it in the closing seconds. So it was really interesting just to see the two sides of Cutler all in the, you know, two different drives.
Wow, yeah, totally back-to-back. That's very Cutler. I didn't get a chance to see that game at all, but I've been rooting for Oakland this year. I just picked them up as Roethlisberger got hurt on my fantasy team. I picked up Carr to fill him in. I'm very excited about what Oakland's being able to do. It's always nice to see a team growing and building. I thought they'd beat Chicago. I thought that would happen. Nick, moving on to your game, man. Kansas City, Cincinnati. I'm sorry you guys lost, but as you said, you had an amazing performance by your kicker. How was the game? What was it like?
Well, I was sort of joking with that. I mean, yeah, our kicker, Cairo Santos, he did break the franchise record for seven field goals in a game. But it's one of those just like almost demoralizing stats. Like seven field goals in a loss is just bad no matter how you slice it. I mean, it's just not something to be proud of. But On the other hand, and I actually did check, I wasn't just saying this, I did check it. He, Cairo Santos did score more points than any other player this week. So, woo. But I would have kind of liked if maybe we'd gotten some touchdowns or one of our offensive players, scored some points other than the kicker. But yeah, so basically, I mean, the Bengals are really good. I've been saying this all season, and they just look like a very serious playoff team now. Dalton is putting on like an MVP level performance now. I mean, now he finally has a really solid offensive line. He has weapons up the wazoo, both in the running game and the passing game. He's very accurate on the long ball, and the defense is solid as well. And all of that is very unfortunate for the Chiefs, whose weaknesses at their own offensive line and I don't even know if it's like defensive personnel, like the defensive backs. It's a talent problem. I don't think that's it. I think the Chiefs have been really, and this is something that's actually plagued our defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton, and his defense, is that the Chiefs are really good at disrupting young and inexperienced quarterbacks or bad quarterbacks, because we can produce really great pass rush and we have good enough defensive backs that we'll leave them press man, leave them all on their little islands. But the thing is, when you play A, good quarterbacks, and B, good offensive lines, and the pressure's not getting there, or the quarterback's able to read the defense well, get the ball away fast enough, then the Chiefs have just been getting shredded. I mean, the Chiefs, who are supposed to have one of the top five defenses this year, I mean, have let up 30-plus points in the last three games. Granted, that was against the Bengals, against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and Peyton Manning and the Broncos. But still, it is very worrisome. I mean, and really, the Chiefs' offensive line is, I think, what I now worry is what's going to keep them out of the playoffs. I mean, they were just absolutely embarrassed. There's not really proper words in the English language to describe their performance so far this year. Alex Smith has been sacked now 19 times. That's five more than any other quarterback in the league. And that is with their entire game plans suited around, short passes, just try to beat the rush. But like literally that, getting rid of the ball in like 1.5 seconds is not fast enough for him to escape and stay on both his feet. And so it's one of those things. I mean, the Chiefs have probably had one of the toughest opening schedule for the first quarter of the season with, there's five teams that have four wins right now. The Chiefs have played three of them, two of them on the road. Wow. So the fact they're 1-3, it's like, okay, you look at that, like, well, they've played a lot of really good teams. But the thing is that the hope was that the Chiefs were now to the point where they can compete with those teams. And against Green Bay and against the Bengals, they were never anywhere near control of those games. I mean, they were getting dominated throughout, really. So it's really worrisome. The good news is that we have, we're at home to Bears this weekend, which is like a get well blowout written all over it. So I'm doing okay, but it's been ugly the last couple of weeks.
Wow, nice. Well, I think it'll get better for you guys. I mean, obviously, it sounds like you've had a crazy beginning schedule, but that's fascinating, man. Jacksonville Indy, you checked this game out, Kohler. What did you think of this very near win for Indianapolis? How did this game look?
I'm a Browns fan, and I feel bad for Jacksonville. They had over 400 yards of offense. They led in time of possession. They had zero turnovers to Indy's two, and they still lose the game because their kicker misses two field goals, one at the end of the game and one in overtime, and then Indianapolis comes down and kicks the field goal in overtime. I mean, it was backbreaking. Bortles looked okay. He had about 250 passing yards. He hit, Allen Hurns, I guess, is his new lead wide receiver, 11 receptions for 116 yards and a TD. So they looked okay. It's just bad luck, man. Just bad luck.
Wow. No, it's crazy. Go Indianapolis. They got to piece together wins the ways they can. They remind me of the Ravens this year, just a team that should be better than what they're playing. Carolina-Tampa Bay. What is wrong with Jameis Winston? Why can this dude not play football? It's amazing to watch him against Mariota. And I get it. He may not have the things around him, but they're going to ruin him. Like, he looks horrible. He looks real bad. Carolina has no receivers whatsoever, and they put up 37 points. Cam Newton is dominating. They got Ted Ginn. Oh, my God, I love it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it was 1989 and I was playing Madden, that would be awesome. I mean, God, Ted Ginn. That's a long time ago when that was relevant. They have Avant too. I mean, I'm sure McNabb misses Jason Avant. totally crazy. But I'm impressed, man. They're putting wins together. I think Cam Newton is the kind of player people talked about him being, you know, the guy that can carry a team, and he's doing it. That team needs a lot of pieces, and they're still winning. I mean, yeah, what do you guys think? Is Jameis Winston going to pull it together this year? I don't, you know, it's too early to say ever, but I mean, are we going to see Jameis playing like a professional quarterback by the end of 2015?
I mean, I think we'll know. Well, I mean, I think it'll be close. I mean, we'll be able to make a closer verdict at like the very end of the season. I mean, even Mariota has been up and down. I mean, he had that amazing opening game. Granted, that was also against these same Buccaneers. But then he's had, you know, he's had downs as well in the three games he's played. Winston, I mean, yeah, I mean, he looks like a deer in the headlights rookie to me. But he's also shown his ability as well. And we'll just have to see. I mean, he just looks like a rookie to me at this point.
Yeah. So speaking of another high pick quarterback, we have the Philadelphia Washington game. Obviously, we have Mr. Sam Bradford. And just to say, Sam is getting so much right now. They are so on top of him as if he's the problem. He is not the problem. Sam looks fine. He doesn't look amazing, but he looks better than any quarterback we've had since McNabb, and probably even better than McNabb. If we all went back and watched McNabb throw all the time, passes into the ground, and throw these bullets for no reason that would fly off of people's hands, I think we would all be happy with Bradford. But this team, this offensive line, oh God. We played a very good team. I think Washington, not a great team, but Washington played a very good game. I was very confident we would go into Washington and we would finally see us just light somebody up. Their secondary is horrible. How bad is their secondary? Sam Bradford had not thrown any long passes at all this season. He threw long passes to Riley Cooper and Miles Austin. Those two men, I guarantee I can run faster than those two dudes. They are slow dudes. And they got over and behind the Redskins secondary and were catching deep touchdowns. That's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, ridiculous. But regardless, we didn't play the first half at all. We finally were in position to kick a field goal at the end of the first half, and we missed it. So we went into the half down by 13-0. The second half, this is always what's happening with the Eagles. We start to play better. You really see the offensive line start to shore up and block better for Bradford. And then Bradford makes some really nice throws and he makes some nice plays. You're just watching a new quarterback for us. And like, what does he do this week that he hasn't done before? And for the first time, he did a rollout, broken play, and then threw it bang for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Really, really nice. Great play. But, of course, you watch tonight, and to win the game, Russell Wilson does that like it's like going out of style. He's just like breaks out, broken play. Oh, I throw it. It's like third and short, and we shouldn't be running the ball, but I'll just throw it 30 yards downfield. Amazing what good quarterbacks can do. Regardless, we didn't pull it off. It was not our game. We are now 1-3. If Tony Romo's collarbone was not broken, our season would be over. But right now, as I said, the Giants are the team that everyone's most afraid of, which just blows my mind. Talk about an incomplete team. They have some great weapons, but that team is broken and not doing well, although it's being coached great by Coughlin. It's going to be an interesting division. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to my game. Any questions you want to ask about the crying Chip Kelly fan?
Yeah. What's happened to the rushing game for Philly? They were leading, you know, the past 2 years. Leading in attempts, leading in yardage, and now they've just given up on it? Like, are they switched to a passing team? I'm just confused.
So they were running, and I think that switching out the two guards has been really bad. And then the back of the – so we switched out our two guards. We got rid of Harriman's, and we got rid of Mathis, right? Those guys left in free agency. So we pick up – two guys who are already on the team step up. Alan Barbre, who I think is playing okay. And then on the other side, we have, we had Gardner. Gardner now has it, I think he tore his ACL. Something injury, maybe Liz Frank. He's out for the season, regardless. So we lose him, and now Matt Tobin steps up. So we really have these kind of backup guards trying to be starters. And what's happening is some kind of a breakdown. There's a lot of penetration. I don't think it's as simple as they're not blocking well. I think it's communication and the whole offensive line is out of sync. But that's what happens, I think, when you switch out every other player. You know, it's like, yeah, the tackles are fine, but we switched up the others. The other scary thing is I think Jason Peters may be done. I'm not saying retired done, but no longer a Pro Bowler, no longer a dominant left tackle. And so what I'm thinking is I'm worried if, or not maybe worried, I'm thinking that maybe sometime by this, the end of this year or in this offseason, they let Lane Johnson have his shot at left tackle, and maybe Peters could get a couple more years out as a right tackle. But he is not doing the job he needs on the left side, both in the run game and the pass game that I'm used to. You know, there were plays in the past where he's not only finishing his block at the line, he's then going down and, like, the worst nightmare for a safety of all time, just blowing them up 20 yards downfield. And there, I haven't seen anything like that from Peters this year. So, and then Kelsey's been a little sloppier than normal. So just the whole offensive line seems out of sync. I think bottom line, we changed a bunch of pieces in the offense, and they're clearly not coming together. And they will, I think, by the end of the season, but we may no longer be in contention by then. And I look around the league, and there's no way we're going to compete with a team like the Falcons or the Packers or even a healthy Dallas. Like, there's teams even in the NFC before we even get to the Super Bowl that I don't think we have a chance against. And so, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but that's basically where we're at. The offensive line needs to fix a lot. And I think we need one more receiver. I think losing Macklin really hurt our offense. Jordan Matthews, like, our salty vet now, because our real salty vets, Cooper and Austin, are like old men who are not playing well. So you have Jordan is like the guy everyone's looking up to, and it's his second year. You know, he's never broken 1,000 yards receiving. There's just a lot of places work to do. But this isn't a Philly podcast. I should move on. Let's look for you. I'll share some of the misery. How was your game, Cleveland, losing by 3 to San Diego, Rob? How was that?
We just find interesting ways to lose, you know. I mean, guy for San Diego kicks a 39-yarder and misses, but we're offside. Travis and so they get the kick again. Of course, this time he makes it. So, you know, I'm really surprised. It's kind of going the exact opposite of how I thought it was going to go. I thought the defense would be a lot stronger. It's not. It's the same old Browns. Dante Whitner has turned into probably the worst safety I've seen in my entire career with the Browns. He went from being one of the best to the worst literally overnight. He gets killed all over the place. San Diego didn't run much, even though we have the worst run defense, and they still killed us just by passing all over the place. But our offense, which I thought was going to be run-heavy, is very pass-heavy. And you know, McCown throws for 356 yards. I mean, he's slinging the ball all over the place. Now, San Diego's not the best, but they're okay. They're decent on defense, and we looked pretty good there. I mean, Duke Johnson, our rookie running back, comes out and has 100 yards catches. He has 8 catches for 100 yards, makes a really, really nice over-the-shoulder catch in the end zone that not a lot of running backs can make. I mean, they split him out wide, and they called an audible, and they read that, and they just sent him on a 9 route, and he just went right past the linebacker that was on him. So, you know, the offense looks pretty good, you know, considering. Now, they haven't played anybody like the Chiefs. So, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. We get our GM back. Yay! The same guy who drafted, you know, all these first and second rounders that aren't starting. And when you have the Browns lineup, I mean, first and second rounders have to hit every year. And, you know, Cameron Irving, who they drafted in the second round, who I like, he's not panning out. And, you know, and I see somebody like the Seahawks tonight, and they're, you know, they have a stat 24 of their 58 guys went undrafted. So, I mean, these things are,
wow.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it seems like the draft is kind of a crapshoot, and the Browns are on the losing end of it every single year.
Wow. Well, if it makes you feel any better, the first overall pick, our guy, Eric Fisher, didn't start this game. After being moved to right tackle, he did not start the game at right tackle. Although they put him in and he actually did okay. But so even if you're picking first overall, you can still somehow whiff majorly. Even online.
Yeah, I mean, when those things don't hit, you lose, you know, 2 to 3 years. You got to pick up the next year and the next after that. It's crazy.
Yeah, our first-round pick from last year, Marcus Smith. Yeah, people are pretty upset that he doesn't at all even play. Usually he's inactive for most games. I think that's the reason our GM got fired.
He's from Louisville where I live, and I thought he was a little overrated coming out, so.
Yeah, when he got picked in the first round, people were like, "Whoa, that's early."
Yeah,
but bad decision. Because we need help. You know, we have a lot of injuries, and we lost Trent Cole. I mean, there's lots of opportunities for him to step up, and it's just not happening. Looking at this St. Louis Arizona game, this is a shocker. I really thought Arizona at home, that team looked strong. Carson Palmer looked really good. I thought they would win this game. And somehow St. Louis pulls this out. I think a lot of it had to do with St. Louis's defense, obviously. They forced a lot of really great plays. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this game, but any thoughts on St. Louis and Arizona? Do either of these teams have a chance to take this division? I thought Arizona was the favorite. But at this point, does St. Louis actually have a chance here? Or is it going to be Arizona-Seattle battling it out?
I think St. Louis is your wonky team of the year. They're the team that beats the teams they shouldn't and then loses to teams they shouldn't. So they lose to Washington, they beat Arizona, they beat Seattle. But the good thing for them is Todd Gurley looked really good. I mean, he had 146 yards, and so that's your rookie, and finally get him back, and he looks solid against a really good Arizona defense. So if they can keep him going and pound the ball and then just hope that defense holds on, they could win a couple games. They could be spunky, but I still think the Cardinals and Seattle are going to battle it out in the NFC West.
I'm not so sold on that. I think the NFC West is going to be an interesting division this year. I mean, as big a numbers as the Cardinals have put out there, I mean, obviously they have the ability to really, they have the weapons that Carson Palmer is a smart enough quarterback. They can score on you, but you look at who they actually beat so far this year. I mean, they beat the Saints at home in a not a real close game, but they beat them at home. They beat the Bears on the road, dismantled them really, and then totally blew out the 49ers at home. I mean, now that we're four games into the season, none of those wins look that impressive, Then they're at home to the Rams, and they get really pushed around. I mean, I think the Rams are – I mean, Rams are just the sort of team that they're kind of gritty. They're going to always play to the level of their competition, I think. But they're the kind of the wild card in this whole division that could make the whole thing interesting. Now they already have wins over Seattle and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how strong Arizona is going to be going through a full schedule once it starts getting tougher. We'll have to see. I mean, I think – we can pretty much count the 49ers as being at the bottom for the rest of the year, but I think it's going to be interesting between those three at the top.
Yeah, and even Seattle, I mean, we're going to see, but I mean, they had trouble with Detroit tonight, and they should have lost to Detroit. Chancellor had a miracle play at the last second so that they didn't lose that game, but they should have lost to Detroit tonight, and they have no business losing to Detroit at home. That's not a good sign for Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're missing Lynch. There's reasons. But yeah, man, that's it. That is an interesting division. It's gonna be crazy to see how it all shakes out. Rob, you took a look at the Minnesota Denver game. What did you think here? Minnesota came closer against Denver than I expected, but Denver's 4-0. I heard a stat today. I think it was Ross Tucker was saying this, that Peyton Manning has now led in all of his years, seven different teams to a 4-0 start, like seven different years. That's impressive. That's a lot of 4-0 starts. What do you think here with the Minnesota-Denver game?
I mean, that is weird, especially with him being, not on his best this year. That defense has really stepped up. Chris Harris is one of the best corners that never gets any kind of run in the public media, but he is legit. And it was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. They kind of came out to a little bit of a lead, and then surprisingly, Teddy Bridgewater finally looked like what people have been talking about at the beginning of the year and during the preseason. He looked calm and collective, and he threw okay. They were last in the league in passing coming into the game. But he let him down to a couple touchdowns, and, of course, Adrian Peterson is just Adrian Peterson. So that really helps him get solidified in his throwing.
For sure. What do you think of the Green Bay San Fran game? 17-3, obviously SF could not get it going. I think Green Bay sacked Kaepernick five times, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think of this game? I don't think of Green Bay as a shutdown defense, and they're holding them to three at home. That's not good.
No, and it was the couple of interesting things came out of it. So you and I both grew up in the Bay Area. I have a couple of friends who are Niners fans, and they emailed me in the press conference afterwards. Jim Tomsula, who is a Ron Jeremy lookalike, farted during the press conference and just pretended like nothing happened. It was the funniest thing. Just find it on YouTube. Go find it. It is hilarious. He tries to pass it off, but nothing happens. He just keeps going. And that's pretty much the Niner season this year. I mean, it's just a fart that, people are pretending doesn't exist. I mean, Kaepernick got sacked 6 times, 5 times by Clay, and Clay Matthews yelling at him over his mic that he isn't Russell Wilson is totally true. I think they've really screwed up his head, that he doesn't know when he's supposed to run and when he's supposed to try and stay in the pocket. And so he just looks absolutely atrocious back there, and they're going to blame it all on him. And they have that contract that they can just get out of it. But there's just so many missing pieces there. I mean, they lost so much, and then the new coach is not really a head coach. And he, you know, he used to be a head coach in NFL Europe. That's his only experience. I mean, they're just, they're poised to just bottom out. That's the worst team in the league.
Is Kaepernick gone? Oh, sorry. Just real quick. Kaepernick gone.
Yeah, I think so. I think because his contract is so easy for them to just get rid of. It's a year-on-year contract, and they can just cut him at, you know, at the end of the year. They'll just ride him out, and then I think they'll let him go.
Well, okay. So, yeah, for definitely. That's interesting. What were we going to say about Green Bay, Nick? Sorry about that.
Well, actually, the whole Kaepernick thing kind of makes me wonder. I wish we had the 49ers fan on to ask him if he wishes they kept Alex Smith. But anyways, that's just purely for my own enjoyment. the point I wanted to make about Green Bay is I actually think their defense is more legit than I think a lot of people think. I mean, granted, I say this having had seen my team get thrown around by them just last week. But, I mean, really, with Peppers and Raji up front, they do have a real pass rush now, and they have a pretty good defensive backfield for, defending against the pass. I think this is actually the most well-rounded Green Bay team there's been in a long time, because their defense has always been problematic and they've always had some sort of glaring hole. I don't see a big weakness on this team right now, despite all the injuries that they've had. I'm feeling even better than I was at the beginning of the season when I made them my Super Bowl pick.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's them and Atlanta. If I had to pick two teams out of the NFC, I want to see it's them and Atlanta go up against each other and see which one. We have a long season still ahead of us, and a lot of things could change. All has to happen is one of those quarterbacks to go down, in my opinion, would change dramatically. But with those two quarterbacks and the weapons they have, yeah, I think those are great games. I think it's very impressive what Aaron Rodgers is doing without Nelson, without his great receiver. He is making other guys look even better than they have in the past. He is truly remarkable and amazing to watch play. Dallas, New Orleans. If there was anything that made me feel good after my loss, it was watching Dallas totally implode. Awesome. Love it. And not only better than watching them implode, is then the next day watching people like Skip Bayless and all of their fannies re-implode themselves and talk about, they're not going to win for the next 6 games. Like, it's all over. Oh, God, I love it. How quickly they flee from the team. This was, I think that seeing Breeze come back, they're not going to be a super great team, but a breeze on the Saints is better than a Dallas without Romo. There's no question. I think this game was closer than it probably should have been. Dallas actually and Whedon put up a pretty good fight. But in the end, they get to overtime and they give up an 80-yard CJ Spiller touchdown. Love it. Just love it. I think that they play the Patriots next week. I think that's going to be really difficult for Dallas. And then they have Seattle coming up. They've got to play us. They got to play the Giants soon. They're going to have some troubles without their players. And I think people are just going to tee off on them. They lost Dunbar, I think, tore his ACL. And I think Lance Dunbar is gone for the season, if I'm not mistaken. And then I know Sean Lee left with a concussion. Who knows when he'll be back, but that's not good. Sean Lee is by far their best defender. For my money, if I was going to take one Dallas player, I want Sean Lee. He's amazing. So, yeah, man, they're just the worst I've seen maybe for a team this season in the injury bug. All of their best players are getting hurt, and they're in real trouble. New Orleans, they still have a chance. I think Atlanta's going to take that division, but if they can get their act together, maybe, and maybe if Rob Ryan chokes on a chicken bone, maybe they can be competitive this year. But I think that even New Orleans is similar to those other teams like the Ravens and the Colts. They just don't have it together this year, and they're on the decline. Anybody else about the Dallas-New Orleans game? Any thoughts?
I've never seen an injury bug like the Cowboys like I've seen it this year. I mean, it's crazy. It's only the first month of the season, and they've lost 4 or 5 guys. It's like the Niners are retiring people, so it's just crazy.
No, for sure. Especially to be like Dez, Romo, Sean Lee, Lance Dunbar. Lance, before the season, wasn't a big deal. He's by far their best quarter, their best running back, and I think might have been their leading receiver. So, like, they're just, yeah, they're losing big, big main players very fast.
And they're not
it's
happy.
It's a shame. I don't wish this on them. Oh, no. And I mean, I could have said that before. Him and McFadden are not going to be able to do it. They really almost should go find another running back because those two guys, they're just not professional running backs. I don't mean to be harsh, but they are not. That offensive line deserves better than those two running backs. It's as simple as that. This last game, we're down to the final game, guys. Detroit-Seattle. Seattle just pulled out a miracle of a win. I don't know if anybody was watching, but you know, we're recording right now during this game as it was ending Monday night. But Detroit was driving under 2 minutes left. If anything, they were wasting a little bit of time so that they wouldn't leave much time on the clock. They're down by three. They're about to score a touchdown, go up by four, and then putting a lot of pressure on Seattle to have to score. Instead, he throws a pass, hits a pass Stafford over to Calvin Williams. Calvin extends like Dez Bryant for the end zone, and Cam Chancellor runs over and is like, oh, have you never played football? This is how it works. I'm going to punch that out of your hands. It's going to go back out of the end zone. It's going to go back for a touchback to the 20. Oh, there was no reason for you to reach? You could have just fallen down because we're trying to waste time anyways? When people do stuff that I wouldn't do in Madden, it just drives me crazy. You're a professional football player. You're named Megatron. You have a nickname. You're so good at this game. And you pull that crap? That's why I have no sympathy for the whole Dez Bryant, you know, them in the playoffs. Dez Bryant should not be reaching that ball at the end of that playoff game. That's ridiculous. There's no need for it. That's stupid. And similarly, the Lions – one of the few times the Lions were going to drive down on the road and beat someone, and they give the game away. Just pathetic. I don't know if any of you guys saw it. What do you guys think?
Well, there's two things that make this worse than, you know, a normal one of those, like, end of the game, like, awful things that happens. One is that it drops the Lions now down to 0-4. They're the only 0-4 team right now. And the other is that, I don't know if you've seen this, but actually NFL VP of officiating Dean Blandino has already come out and said to ESPN that actually, so after the ball was punched out of Megatron's hands, it was then illegally batted out of the end zone by KJ Wright. Mm. And that because that was an illegal bat, the ball should have gone back to the Lions at the spot where they lost possession.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not reviewable.
Yeah, that's so a bump. I knew that rule, and I would.
So the Lions should have gotten the ball back at like the, you know, 6-inch line, and presumably won the game. So that's gotta hurt so bad if you're a Lions fan.
Yeah,
yeah.
In Seattle. The only way Seattle scores is that, you know, Russell Wilson gets pressured, he scrambles out of it, he runs around, and then he throws some 30-yard pass like behind his back or something. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy stuff that they get, and their offense is that's it. That's their all in the offense. And have Russell Wilson run around and then find somebody open because you can't guard them that long. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, playing them is totally like playing Madden. Back when Vic was on Madden, where the second somebody hikes it, they're just in a rollout. Like, it's not even a designed rollout. It's just like, hike, run! Like, run to the sideline. And it's just so obnoxious. And he can do it in real life. You have to give Russell credit. He would be the most obnoxious quarterback to have to defend against. There's no question. To have to scheme for that guy and deal with him. Exactly like you said, when he breaks plays that have, you've already done everything you can, and he still gets a 30-yard pass or a 20-yard run out of it, I mean, that's backbreaking. Our only, you know, the only solace is that he's small. Yeah.
5 or 6 sacks, and the only way that they really get him is there was one sack where all four defensive linemen for the Detroit Lions converged on Russell Wilson. I mean, that's how bad their offensive line was. It wasn't just one guy. It was every single guy was bad.
I know this is my typical little soapbox, but there's just a couple players that people act like are the best in the league, and I just want to point out Richard Sherman got burned several times in that game, and definitely on the final drive. Richard Sherman is a reason that they scored that touchdown or should have scored that touchdown. People to act just because he told the league that he's the best in the league, that he's one of the best, he's not. Revis, anyone who studies watches Revis versus Sherman, that's not even comparable. What Revis is able to do and what people do because of Revis, there's just no comparison. I'm just sick of it. Richard Sherman is a good corner. He's nowhere near one of the best in the league. Don't even get me on my J.J. Watt rants. But regardless, we should decide who the best players are every single year. And I want to point out, so far this year, J.J.'s team isn't doing well, and neither is Richard Sherman's. All right. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. That was awesome. I'm sorry that was a little longer than we were hoping. It's so hard to get to so many games. Bye weeks are coming. Less games. Finally. So, guys, where can people follow you? Nick, if people wanted to find you on Twitter or out in the universe of the internet, where would they look for you?
You can find me at Clayton Nicholas. And if you're looking for a kicker, we will gladly trade you Cairo Santos, our short little Brazilian, for, you know, any two or three offensive linemen that maybe were decent in high school. That's good for us.
We may be able to do that. I was going to say, if you need a good offensive lineman, I can't help you. But some high school kids, yeah, totally. We'll be able to work that out. Rob, where can they find you?
They can find me at Fletch2198 on Twitter. And, you know, if you want to give us your defensive back for a player to be named later, we'll gladly give up our first round picks because we don't know how to use them.
Well, I would give you our defensive backs, but he's on playing for the Steelers and not starting. We gave Boykin to the Steelers, and they're not using him. But yes, awesome, guys. Thank you. I am Mark Sitko. You can follow me at Sitko77 on Twitter. You can follow the podcast at NFU Podcast on Twitter. On Facebook, you can just type up Next Fan Up and find us. Please write in, talk to us. We'd love to hear everything you guys have to say. The show, yes, we will be back on Thursday. Pod Vader will be hosting a previews for week 5. I will be back on Sunday next week, maybe Monday again like this, depending on when we can all get together to make this happen. But we shoot for Sunday night, first thing Monday release, previewing all the games. Thank you guys for being with me. I am going to kick it off now with
the first pick in the NFL draft.